Turn with me, please, to the chapter that we read together, Paul's epistle to the Colossians in the first chapter, and seeking help from God, I would like to consider with you tonight verses 12 and 13 of Colossians chapter 1. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Giving thanks unto the Father. Now the verses that we have here before us come as part of a prayer that Paul has been praying for the church at Colossae. He begins his prayer in verse 3, saying that he gives thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for these people. And he recounts how he has heard of their faith and of their conversion, and he speaks of how they heard the word of the truth of the gospel, and that came to them through this dear fellow servant, Epaphras. And Paul goes on to say how that he did not cease to pray for these Christians, and he desired for them that they might increase in the knowledge of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he then, at verse 10, makes this petition for them that they might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. And then he has a series of phrases that come after that, which are categories of thought under this general theme of walking worthy before the Lord, that they would be fruitful in every good work, that they would increase in the knowledge of God, that they might be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power, that they might be filled with patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. And then in verse 12, that they would be giving thanks unto the Father. And these are the verses that we want to consider together tonight, verses 12 and 13, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Giving thanks. Now, the ungodly in this world, the unconverted man, is characterized by being unthankful. Whereas the godly man, the Christian man, ought to be one whose life is characterized by this phrase, that he is giving thanks unto the Father, for there is so much for us to give thanks to God for. But the unconverted man is described for us in Romans chapter 1. We read there that because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. And we see this in the world and in society as we interact with the men and women of this world. We see that rather than being thankful to God, we find that so often they are full of complaints and murmurings against God and against their lot in life and against the things that they experience in this world. They complain about the weather, they complain about anything that they can find to complain about, even though they have so many of the good things of this life, even though the shops are full of everything that they need, even though their bank balances are full and they have no need to be concerned in that respect. compared to so many in this world who are living in poverty and living destitute and who have so much to contend with in this world. We in our society here have so much, and yet we are characterized by being unthankful to God. And you sometimes hear people even saying, when the weather's bad, they'll say, oh, otherwise we wouldn't have anything to complain about, as if it was their very right to complain to God, to complain against the Most High. But the Lord God Almighty is constantly showering us and the people in our society with good things, with the blessings of this world. He has not left himself without testimony. He has given us fruitful seasons. He has given us rain in due time. He has given us seed time and harvest. He has given us so much in this world to enjoy of his blessing. But the testimony that the Word of God has here is that they were unthankful. They did not glorify him as God. But Paul here, speaking of the Lord's people, his prayer for them is that they would be giving thanks unto the Father. We are to give thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. We are to give thanks for his goodness and his mercy and his loving kindness. We are to give thanks for the revelation that we have of God in the pages of the Scriptures. We would be ignorant of him were it not for what he has revealed to us in the pages of this blessed book. He has spoken to us of who he is and of who we are and what he requires of us. And we are to give thanks for these blessings. We are to give thanks. Paul says that we are to rejoice evermore. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to give thanks in everything, because he says that this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. We are to give thanks. That is God's will for his people, that we would be a thankful people, that we would be thankful at all times and at all seasons and in every situation, because we have the testimony of God's word that all things, whether they seem to us good or evil, that all things are working together for our good. And we are to be thankful for that. We are to be thankful that the Lord is working together and weaving together all these different strands in our lives, all these different providences that we come through in this world, that these are all working together for our good. And we are to be thankful. And so, therefore, we should not despise anything which God places in our path. We are to have this testimony that our times are in his hand. And we are to remember that everything that we go through in this world, in every day of our life, we are in the hand of the Almighty. We are in the hand of the Father. And he is the one who is giving us all things richly to enjoy. And so we are to seek to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who, even though he was the Lord of glory, he was the maker of heaven and earth, as we read together in the chapter, that by him all things were created which are in heaven and that are in earth. All things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. And yet, when he came as a man in the days of his flesh, yet he so humbled himself that he placed himself in that position where he had to receive his good things in this life from the hand of his Father, and he gave thanks for them. We read over and over again in the Gospels that when he fed the 5,000, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he gave thanks. And we read at one time when he was speaking to his disciples that he lifted up his eyes and he said, I thank thee, Father of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto babes. Christ, our Lord, he was thankful for God for what he had done in this world, in the revelation of his truth, and in the salvation of sinners. Christ was thankful for it. And he says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And this is to us a key for how we are to be thankful to God. We are to remember that all things in this world, all things that happen, and all things that we go through, and all things that we see, and all things that we enjoy in this world, these are those things which seemed good in the sight of our Father. And we are to remember that he is full of tender mercy, and as a father pities his children, so he pities those that fear him. And we are to be thankful for his mercies toward us. But here Paul is giving a direction, he's praying, and he's instructing us in his prayer about what specifically he desires these Colossians would give thanks unto the Father for. He says that he prays that they would be giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so here we are to give thanks for these specific blessings of salvation that God has blessed his people with. He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance, and he has delivered us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we want to look first at our present position of being delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, and then secondly, that he has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That is our future hope that we look forward to, the inheritance of the saints in light. So firstly, what we presently enjoy, that God has delivered us out of the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are delivered, he says, and it is an almighty delivery, because we are delivered from the power of darkness. And we remember that the Lord Jesus Christ used that phrase. He said on the night that he was betrayed, he said that this is your hour and the power of darkness. And that was a time when Satan and the powers of darkness were gathering round. And here we see that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us out of the kingdom of Satan, the god of this world. He has delivered us from who the Lord Jesus Christ termed the strong man armed. He speaks here of the power of darkness. And Satan keeps his goods as a strong man armed, as a powerful man who is armed. And he keeps his goods in peace, but he keeps them in peace because he keeps them in darkness. Now, before any of us were converted by nature, we were in the power of darkness. We were held captive by the devil to do his will. And there was no way that we could deliver ourselves, because there was power which was holding us. And there was darkness which was upon our minds and upon our hearts and upon our thoughts. We were kept in darkness. moral darkness and spiritual darkness, and even our minds were in darkness. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. And that is what we were. We were held in darkness. We were dead in sin. We were blind to the glory of God. We were deaf to the word of God, and we were held by this strong man in the power of darkness. But here we have been delivered. The Father hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Because although there is the strong man armed, yet there is one who is stronger than the strong man. The devil is mighty, but God is almighty. And the devil is powerful, but God is all-powerful. And the devil has a power which is potent, but God has the power which is omnipotent. And there is this great, an infinite degree of difference between power and almighty power, between might and almighty. And God is the one who has delivered us out of the power of darkness. He has rescued us from the kingdom of Satan, and he has translated his people into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has translated us, just as in the days of Moses, his people Israel were rescued and delivered out of Egypt, and they were taken through the wilderness into the land of promise. They were taken there with God's outstretched arm. God exercised his power to deliver his people, and God delivers his people out of the hand of the enemy. He delivers their feet from falling. He is the one who delivers them into the kingdom of his dear Son, because the Lord Jesus Christ has a kingdom. He is the one whom God has set upon his holy hill as his anointed king. And though the kings of the earth, and though Satan himself would seek to rebel against him, yet he has the power which is almighty. And he has delivered his people. He has delivered them and taken them into the kingdom of his dear Son. And Christ here is referred to as his dear Son. The Lord, the Father, when he spoke from heaven, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we are to remember that Christ is his dear Son, and we are to esteem him as such, that he is the dear, the dearly beloved Son of God, and we are to love him as the dearly beloved. We are to love him as our deliverer and as our redeemer. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And this is how we have been delivered out of the power of darkness. It is by being redeemed through his blood. Redeemed by the blood, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross, whereby he spoiled principalities and powers, and he has delivered us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Chapter 2 says that Christ, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It was contrary to us, and he nailed it to his cross, and he spoiled principalities and powers, and he triumphed over them. Christ is the one who has triumphed over Satan and over principalities and over powers, and he is the King. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we are translated into his kingdom that he might be our King and our Sovereign, our Ruler and our Defender. He is our Leader and our Guide and our Lawgiver, and we are to esteem him as such. We are to love him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, and we are to give thanks unto the Father for what he has done in to translating us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has delivered us into a wealthy place. But we are also here to give thanks unto the Father because he has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And this is the hope that we have for the future. We are presently already translated into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are in the future to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This is what we look forward to. This is what we desire. This is what we will experience in heaven, the inheritance of the saints in light. And God has made us meet, or he has made us fit or prepared to be partakers of this inheritance. And he has done this by justifying us by the blood of Jesus Christ, and by free and sovereign grace, he has justified us, that we have no longer the wages of sin set against us, but we have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And also, God has adopted us into his family, because here we are made meet to be partakers of an inheritance. An inheritance is something which is bestowed upon the Son. The Son has the inheritance. And though by nature we had no inheritance, we were foolish and we were deceived and we were without God and without hope in the world, yet God has adopted us as his children and taken us into his family, and he has given us this inheritance. And we are made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light because he has called us to be saints. We are called to be saints, called to be holy, called to be separate from this world, called to be patterned and fashioned after the Lord Jesus Christ, to be partakers of his holiness, because nothing that's undefiled will enter into heaven itself. And to be made meet to be partakers, we must be made holy, both in body and in soul. And this is something that God has begun the work in his people, and he shall bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. He has made us meet in our justification and our adoption, and he is making us meet in our sanctification. He is making us meet to be partakers of this inheritance. But what is this inheritance? Well, it is an inheritance that is described for us in 1 Peter. Peter says that we are kept for an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. Incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away. This is how the Word of God describes this inheritance. And these three terms are terms which are used of the Lord God himself. Incorruptible. Romans chapter 1 speaks to us of the uncorruptible God. He cannot be corrupted. He is intact. His integrity is sound. He cannot be moved. And just as God is uncorruptible, so the inheritance that we are to receive from God is incorruptible. Undefiled. The Lord, he is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and he cannot look upon sin. He is undefiled. And so the inheritance that we are to receive from him is undefiled. There is no stain of sin. There is no spot upon it. Nothing undefiled shall ever enter in. And it fadeth not away. Now, when something fades, it changes and it loses that the properties that it had before. But God himself, he said, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And God is the one who has given us this inheritance, which is as he is, incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading. And this inheritance is given to us as the heirs of God. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And the Word of God is that which is able to build us up and to give us this inheritance among the saints. And we are to remember that it is the inheritance of the saints in light, because God is the one who is in the light. He is clothed with light as with a garment. And when we read of this inheritance, of what John saw of it in Revelation chapter 21, he said, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. It is an inheritance of the saints in light, and that light is the light of God, the glory of God. And this is what we shall enjoy of this inheritance that we are to partake of. It is the glory of God, the full enjoying of God to all eternity, as we have in the Catechism, the enjoying of the glory of God. And this is what the Lord God has done for us and what he has prepared for us. And we are to give thanks when we remember these things, and we are to stir up each other to remember these things, what God has done for us and what God has prepared for us. May God bless his word and cause us to rejoice and to be glad and to be thankful unto him. May God bless his word. Amen.